done. I can't even add them up. One, two, three, up to infinity. I'd run out of numbers before I could thank you for everything. And the chorus says, God, I'm still counting my blessings for all that you've done in my life. The more that I look in the details, the more of your goodness I find. Father, on this side of heaven, I know that I'll run out of time, but I'll keep counting my blessings, knowing I can't count that high. It's a great song, and that's great theology right there. To remind yourself of what God has done in the past. To remind yourself of the many miracles that have come along at the most obscure times. People I'm always called back to a family in our church who had little to no money. They have 7 or 8 kids. And they didn't have much for money. And my mom was going through a medical emergency. And we needed to rush back to Iowa. And it was one of those, you know what I'm talking about, right? Where you're like, okay, God, I don't know if the car's going to run good. I don't know if I've got enough money to get there, but I'm just going to trust you. We got to go. And as we're loading stuff in the car, here comes the beat-up old Suburban that this family had. And in my hand, they put a check. I said, you can't do this. He said, I can't not do this. This is what God's instructed me to do. And I'm like, you know, I look back at all of those things and all the things that affected my, by the way, my wife's health now is fabulous, by the way. So God has answered a prayer with her and her blood cancer, they go in, they're all caught off guard now. So I look at all these things and go, how can I ever distrust you, God? Why do I go there? Why in my weakness do I constantly doubt that you can handle this situation? But I'm going to keep reminding myself. Speak words of faith even when you don't feel strong. Say out loud, God is with me. I will not be afraid. I have shouted many things on walks that I'm sure the people around me think I'm crazy. But there's a lot of homeless folks in my neighborhood, and they shout things all the time, so they probably just disregard and say, I shout because I battle. I'm like, leave me alone, Satan. You do not own me. I am owned by my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I will not fall for this garbage that you're trying to put in my head. I'm going to walk strong. Shout it out. Third thing, next scripture is coming here. Control what you can and surrender what you can't. Let me explain that. There are things in our life that we have absolutely no control over. Do I hear a great big amen on that? And trying to grasp on them only leads to more anxiety. Instead, we must do what we can to release the rest to God. We don't have to carry the weight of it. Do you struggle with anxiety? I'm not going to make you raise your hand. Do you struggle with anxiety? You're not a bad person because you struggle with anxiety, okay? I struggle with it sometimes too, as I've kind of already described. And Scripture is going to tell us, don't be anxious. Do you know why God said don't be anxious? Because he knew we would. Okay, he knew we were going to find ourselves in those places. So if you struggle with anxiety, the first thing I want to say to you is, where's your relationship with the Lord? How close are you walking to him? How much time are you spending in his word and listening to those sing about him and what he's done? How much time are you investing? That's something that you can control. The one that has the choice to make any changes when it comes to that. Philippians 4. Verses 6 and 7. Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7 says, do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And he said it because he knew that we would find ourselves there. Maybe even this morning, one of you is like, I'm really struggling. I got anxious. I'm anxiety. How many have had that? You know what it is. I don't know about you, but my worst times are in the middle of the night. Do I hear an amen on that? You wake up for some strange reason, got to use the bathroom. You come back and you lay down, and now you're thinking about things that you would probably never ever think in daylight. Never things you're struggling over. What's going to happen here? The car's going to blow up. What do I mean? Things just cross your mind that you. And then you have to go. Wait. Stop. I want to go back to sleep. Got to put this in the Lord's hands. Paul wrote that, what he just wrote, what I just read. He wrote that in his letter to when he was in prison. You think you got it bad. Yet he encouraged the Philippians to replace their anxiety with prayer. He knew firsthand that worry wouldn't change the situation. Worry wouldn't get him out of prison. But surrendering to it to God would bring him peace. In fact, the phrase peace of God, which transcends all understanding, means that his peace is not based on logic, which is where we go to all the time, right? Or the circumstances. It's supernatural and it guards our hearts and minds and against fear. So how do we apply this? First thing, identify what you can control. You can control your attitude. I just saw husbands and wives look at each other during that one. You can control your attitude. You can control what you spend time in prayer and how much and how often. You can control your support for other people, which we're going to talk about here in a minute. And what you can't control is the future, other people's decisions, health outcomes, all kinds of things. So we focus on what we can do and we leave the rest. Again, it sounds like a pat answer. Well, just leave it to God. I wanted to smack some people that said that at times, but they're right. Leave it in God's hands. We have so little control, but God allows us to choose how we can react and how we think. So practice surrendering by praying, God, I give you this. Help me trust your plan. I've prayed that so many times. God, please forgive me. And I know he does. Help me trust what you're doing. I don't see it. I don't know. I can't. My vision doesn't go that far, but help me trust that you have a plan because I know that you do. Write down your worries and physically lay them before the Lord in prayer if you need to. Surround yourself with people who will encourage you. The church is not just something we do on Sunday mornings. It sometimes is, but it shouldn't be. Can I just tell you that in my life, having been here for the last 20 years, you are my family. You are my friends. You are my support and my encouragement, and I hope I'm doing the same for you. That's vital. It's people that will come alongside you and go, come on, man, you can get through this. I'm praying for you. Sometimes people that will go, hey, I'll help you. Let me step up to the game. Let me help you out. Not fuel your worry, but choose relationships that can uplift your spirit and remind you of God's faithfulness. And then the next one kind of fits with that, and that is, number four, is to stay anchored in a community. Difficult times, our tendency, and I see this so often in folks, our tendency is to withdraw off by ourselves. Bad things happen. Memories of a particular person that I know that was going through a very difficult time and drew off by themselves, and Satan just ran with that. Sent them into abuse of substances and things where they're trying to meet the need instead of coming and being in the middle of a group of fellowship. One thing if you're new to this church is, in this church, very rarely do you hear, yeah, I'll pray for you. Pat on the back. Very rarely. Most of the time what you're going to hear is, I'll pray for you. Hey, guys, come here. Let's go. Let's gather around. We're going to pray for this person. We're going to lift him up in prayer right now. That's what we do. That's what we should do. But we can't pray if we don't know what's going on in your life. And I think the best thing that we can do as a church is to live in a transparent way. Not to say that I'm going to stand up in front of here and share with you a list of every sin that I committed within the last week. But there are some guys I could talk to and say, hey, man, I've been struggling with this. I've been struggling with this. And they would be like, let's pray for you. Let me help you out. Let me encourage you. Let me be there for you. Let me be your support. Not isolate. God designed us to walk through these trials together. That's why he told us in his scripture that we're supposed to come together as the church. Find strength when we lean on each other, when we pray together, when we encourage one another. It's not time to isolate. It's time to unite. Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. Galatians 6, 2, real short verse. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. The Galatian church at the time this was written was struggling with division and legalism within the church. And Paul reminded them that the Christian faith is expressed in love and service to one another. Bearing each other's burdens doesn't just mean praying for each other. Doesn't just mean that. Sometimes it's practical help. Sometimes it's getting involved. And I want to just say, I want to throw out a challenge to this church, myself included, that we change and do better at how we interact together. That we offer up practical advice and stop. This is going to sound really strange. I'm not saying stop praying. Absolutely not, all the more prayer. But that we're willing to step outside of what's comfortable for us and help somebody, to come along to somebody. Oftentimes, we have a lot of, Pastor John Mark, and he'll tell you that one of our hearts here at this church is to see more and more discipleship take place. Well, discipleship works great when I've got a person who's leading another person. And if that's something you're good at or you'd like to do, then come find me and say, hey, you got somebody ever? I will come alongside them and help them get grounded in God's word and help personally disciple them. That's a practical thing. Emotional support and spiritual encouragement. Be open about your struggles with others and support one another. I think that's why we like to see in this church the small groups. We have small groups. I don't know if you know this or not, but Pastor Duane is now overseeing all of our small groups and desires to see those. Over the next few years, God's given me dreams and visions that will increase within our church. And I think it's amazingly vital for something like this, because now we are much more personally involved with one another, where we can come alongside one another, we can encourage one another. And I'm hearing people say they want it. I was just, Kelly and I were out for a drive the other day, and for those of you who don't know them, Josh and Ashley, they're not with us today, but they've just moved here from New York, and they bought a house in Manitou Springs on Ruxton Avenue. It is 100 years old, and it is a project like you would not believe. We stopped by, and he took us through the house, and oh my gosh. They have gutted this thing. It's just the things they're finding and going through. And he wasn't asking me to come help out there. I could have, but that wasn't really the need. What he needed was spiritual encouragement and prayer. And then he said, you know what? He shared with me this vision that he has, that they're going to start, once they get this house finished, that they're going to start doing something better. They're going to start doing better. And this is something we used to do. This is kind of off from the sermon a little bit, but this is something we used to do. And I would like to challenge you to do this. My mom, I grew up in the Wesleyan Church back in Des Moines, Iowa. And my mother, every Sunday, would put a roast in the crock pot, because that's what you do, right? That's roast for roast potatoes. But it was always way more than my family would eat. And her entire intent was they were going to come to church and they were going to try and have conversations with people, and they were going to run into somebody and say, hey, come over for dinner or come over for lunch. And then get to know them and see how we can encourage them and build them up. Josh is like, that's what we're going to start doing. So I challenge you to do the same. What if we did that? What if that was that kind of church? And you just, as you listen, you're like, hey, you're struggling. I pray with you. Why don't you guys come over? Why don't we come over with us? And let me encourage you. Let me build you up. Let's just spend some time together. Off the subject, but I just felt like to throw that out. So be open about your struggles and allow others to support you. Don't suffer in silence. Lean on the church family that God has given you, but find practical ways to encourage someone else. Send a text. I've done that. That's my new thing. And many of you are I have your phone number and you have mine. I don't just give it out randomly, but I do have many of you. And what I do is if I'm just driving down the road, sometimes God will put you on my mind. And I have made a commitment with the Lord that if that happens, I stop. Now I have to pull over and do it. But I'm good. I can do it at the same time. And I'll text you and say how you're doing. It's amazing how many times when I do that, somebody's like, oh my gosh, thank you so much. I mean, I'm going through this thing, and it's just amazing that you would reach out and contact me. Text them. Make a meal. Just sit and listen. Sometimes people just need, the greatest gift that you can give is just someone who will sit and listen to what they have to say. Attend church in small groups even when you don't feel like it. And sometimes we don't. Amen? You weren't supposed to say amen to that. Community strengthens our faith, and it reminds us that we are not alone. We need the community. And then the last point here is replace worry with worship. Now, some of you go, well, I'm not musical. I don't care. And neither does God. That's not. He may have given you that gift. He may have not. Maybe you're like, yeah, when I sing, it does not keep people around. They leave just like you're trying to make me sing. I wasn't going to sing that. But, and I wrote this down, and as I'm writing it down, I'm like, okay, God, what are you trying to, we sometimes our minds focus and fixate on what ifs. And I struggle with that. What if this? I got to get my mind back in the right perspective, and worship changes the atmosphere of our hearts, and when we praise God, we are reminded of His power and His faithfulness. When I walk, and I've shared this with you before, share it a little again. I got my earbuds on, and I listen to a channel on an application that's free, and it's on my phone, and I make no money off this. So just, I'm not like sponsored. That would be cool. I should get sponsorship for this because I share it all the time. It's a little app called Live One. It's free. Sign up. And there is the Christian Hits channel. Now, some people go, Christian Hits. Well, that's just like, you know, pop music. No. Oh, my gosh. Whoever is in charge of putting the songs together for this particular channel, I just want to hug them. Because the people that they put in there just, it's like, I go for a walk and it's like, okay, you covered everything, God. You covered everything from these people. And what blows me away is sometimes there's things being said and I'm like, that's exactly what I'm going through. I don't know who this person is, but they went through the same thing. And now they wrote this song to encourage me. It just blows me away sometimes. I'll going through something or listening to the music, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I know who needs to hear this. And I'll text you. I may have done that to some of you here in the congregation. Text you this phone. You need to listen to this. You need to listen to this song. Instead of dwelling on what could go wrong, recall the times when God's been faithful, just like I talked about. You can also keep a record of some of the answers that God's done for you. How many people like to journal? Journal? Yeah, I am not a journal. I am not. I try. I have this really cool journal that I carry around with my Bible sometimes. There's nothing in it, but it really looks cool and it matches my Bible great. It's leather bound. It's got a strap. I got like the first two pages in there and that's it. Because that's just not how my mind works. But it's a beneficial thing, and I know many do, and a lot of you ladies I've heard do that very thing, and you like to journal and write down things, and write down what has God done. Here's something that's happened. Here's the answer to prayer. I know my friend Ed over here, he has a prayer journal that he keeps, and when I tell him something, oftentimes he opens it up and starts writing it down so that he can pray for those things. And I appreciate that more than he'll ever know. Write it down. Keep a record. Lift your hands and your voices in worship, even when it's difficult. Praise is a weapon against fear. And I have to tell you, on those walks when things were difficult and I've got God's praise and worship going in my ears, and I could listen to something else. I like to listen to classic rock here and there. I like to listen to a little bit of country and Western. And I like that every once in a while. But none of those things build me up. I never walk away from listening to some country music and go, man, God is so good. I go away going, your truck's good, your dog's good, and that whiskey you've been drinking's good. That's what I walk away from when I listen to country music. So listening to God's word, there are times when the whole walk, I'm not even saying a word. God, I don't know how to deal with this. And God puts all these songs, whoever put the channel together, and it just blows me. Live One, free, Christian Hits. Trust me, you'll be blessed by it. So, that's all I have today. One more scripture after this, but this might have been disturbing to you of what happened. And if it was disturbing, and if you're struggling in any way, shape, or form, and it's okay. He's our pastor, and we watch something happen. It's okay. We want to pray with you if you want us to. Our elders will come up here as we play a song, I think Pups May Be Gone. Did he take off? I think he did. He's got to get home to take care of things. My brother here is going to come up and play a little bit of music, and we're just going to have a quick time of prayer and open up the altar and have the elders come forward, and we'll pray with you. Maybe there's something going on in your life right now that you need to start putting in front of other people. These are great men. These men that are going to stand up here, our elders, are the most trustworthy men that I know in my life. They love this church, and they love you like nobody. You may not see it, you may not hear it from them, but they love you unconditionally, and they desire for you to grow in your faith. They desire for you to overcome difficulties and challenges. You come up here and you share something with these guys, it doesn't leave here. Oftentimes we'll connect you with other people that can go through things and struggles, and guess what? Guess how many of these men up here are perfect? None of us, myself included. So as we go and just have a word of prayer, which I'm going to do here, and we pray for our pastor, let's just keep comfort in knowing this, that God's in control. He's the great physician. He's a great healer. He's our source of peace. And whatever trials we're facing today, whether it's something personally in your life, maybe there's somebody in here that says right now, my marriage is in trouble. Maybe you're both here. Come up here, let's pray. We even have counseling available in the church that we'd love to help you and work through those things. Maybe there's some financial difficulty and you're like, I don't know what to do. Maybe there's somebody struggling in this room right now with a sin that is just overtaking them in a way. Maybe it's substance, maybe pornography, maybe it could be a lot of different things that you're struggling with, and it's like, I'm facing this difficult time. I don't want to be going through this before I found myself. Then come up here and let's pray for you. Take heart. Jesus has overcome the world. One last verse for you. 2 Thessalonians 3:16. 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with you all. Next week, we're going to jump back into God's word in depth. But before we leave today, if you need prayer, we're going to hang out here. He's going to continue to pray. We're going to open up the doors. You can go if you need to. But we just want to be here for you and help you in any way, shape, or form that we can. That's what this church is about. That's what we're going to continue to do as we move forward. Amen? Let's pray. Father God.